All the same reasons. So why not get one for your home? Pick one up today at Supercenters, Sam's Clubs, and other fine retailers.
7:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom, I'm Logan Daniels. KSL's top local story this hour, we're learning more about a Thanksgiving Day rescue that left one man trapped for 12 hours. 25-year-old Robbie Taser was hiking along the Dirty Devil River as part of a training course with the National Outdoor Leadership School. School spokesman Bruce Palmer says Taser got stuck up to his knees and mud in the river, and two classmates activated a beacon when they couldn't get him out.
We carry those on all of our courses in just this sort of a situation where it's a situation they just can't get themselves out of. And so they did the right thing.
Taser says he was never scared because of the talented crew around him. The group is now planning a 14-day skiing trip in Idaho's backcountry. Local businesses are excited about the news. The NBA lockout will come to an end. Hotels and restaurants say they've seen a notable drop-off in the business since Jazz haven't been playing. The new agreement would start the season around Christmas. The Jazz would play 33 home games, 8 less than a regular season. A West Valley neighborhood spent much of the weekend without any water. A 12-inch pipe broke early Saturday morning, sending water spewing into a 3-block radius. None of the water made it into any of the homes, although 35 homes went much of the day without any water until crews repaired it late in the day. Coming up on KSL News Radio, November, ending in a heat wave. We'll check your KSL weather forecast next. KSL News Time, 7:04.
Emergency traffic even earlier. Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Now starting at 3 on KSL News Radio.
I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
We all are faces of influenza.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Get ice cream after?
Dairy allergy.
1-3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together. The roads are clean and clear right now, but if you come across something, give us a call, 801-575-6397. And checking your KSL weather forecast, it'll be sunny, clear skies, high of 52 degrees, overnight low of 26. Then tomorrow, some clouds move in, but will be warm with high of 54. That 54 will stick around for Tuesday, 56 for Wednesday, and then the temperatures drop off Thursday to 47 for the high. It's 32 degrees at 7:06. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Logan Daniels, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Our world is more connected than ever. The face of America is becoming more diverse, and we're seeing those changes here in Utah. This is Cultural Connections. Hear from our many cultures and the issues that affect all of us. Now the host of Cultural Connections, Nkoyo Iyamba, on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hi, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm really excited about the topic that we are going to cover today. We are going to talk about the Virtua Foundation. This is a nonprofit foundation that has 7 key areas of socioeconomic impact, including education, environment, family, health, people, really orphans, refugees, human trafficking, regional needs, crisis response, and social finance, microfinance, all that good stuff. We have in studio with us members of the Virtua Foundation. Let me start with you, Dwee Beck. We have Nick Brunsvold, Hugh Cawthorn, and I'll introduce you all just a little bit. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And so, Dwee Beck, you are an executive MBA from Thunderbird School of Global Management. You have an honors management and marketing degree from the University of Utah. You're a United States Marine Infantry Sergeant. And something fun about you that I like is that you were one of America's top 50 bachelors profiled in Cosmopolitan magazine, and you have been a print and fitness model for Urban Model and Film for 15 years. I love that about you. I think that's fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. And also, we have Nick Brunsvold. you are a United States Marine Sergeant with specialty in crash fire rescue, served tour in Iraq, culinary training. Nick, that's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And then Hugh Cawthorn, nearly 50 years of practicing law in areas of estate planning and general business. You're admitted as an attorney in England, Arizona, and Utah, and you're full-time academics and adjunct professor, and you serve as a legal chair for the board of directors.
I'm just an overachiever.
Well, I think that's what you need to take on a nonprofit such as this. This is really your baby, this Virtua Foundation, this nonprofit. And today we're going to be talking about Hugs for Tug. And tell me how you came to start this foundation.
I believe in marketplace ministry, where God has given us talents to in the marketplace that we can leverage in social entrepreneurship. And so the Virtua Foundation is the other half of our purpose in life. And I think that's the goal, is to be able to leverage, whether our talents be in business, legal, engineering, finance, or whatever that may be, and be able to move in social impact in the world. And so that was kind of the purpose.
We believe in international service. And my father served as an education missionary in India. My sister served as a medical missionary in Thailand. I'm the one that got away and became a lawyer, but there's room for Christian lawyers, so I'm very supportive of charity, and it was a natural to team up with Dewey and do what I could to help.
And well, Hugh definitely keeps us on track, so.
I think that's what you need. You need all sorts of people with all sorts of background to be able to get something like this working. But I love that the two of you are military men, Dewey and Nick, and you're doing something so tender as this Hugs for Tug. Tell us, what is this Hugs for Tug? Tell us about that.
Well, just first of all, the preface, the military image, don't change. We don't want people to think differently about Marines, and so just remember.
There's an image to uphold, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a reputation to keep there. But Hugs for Tug, T-U-G, T is for Tanzania and U-G is for Uganda. So our goal as a foundation, we've identified two orphanages in Eastern Africa. The orphanage in Uganda is a nursery that has about 35 children, and it's actually run by an American director, and we've spent some time there this summer. And then Tanzania, we've identified an orphanage that's in severe need. Mama Faraji is a full-time school teacher, and she supports 48 children off of her teaching salary, and an additional 30 children in the community as well, just in tuition and whatnot. But
Nick, tell me why you decided to get involved with this foundation and this mission.
Well, being Dewey's cousin, I was aware of all the of everything that he had his hand in as far as charity was concerned. And with this specific focus, I saw that the need was so great that a person could donate 5 minutes of their time or a year of their time, which is what we're both donating, and give all that they could for this group of people that really has nothing. And for me to see, to find something that I can give my entire life to was the most important thing. Having served in the military and gone to Iraq and seen people in that setting really having their lives ripped away from them, really opened my eyes to be able to, instead of just going somewhere to defend someone, to defend them physically, I decided that in addition to that, I wanted to defend someone emotionally. I wanted to defend their health. I wanted to feed everyone, and just touch as many lives as I could. And seeing something that was as beautiful and open and nurturing as the Virtua Foundation, and specifically directed to these two orphanages, it just seemed it didn't make sense to do anything else.
And this will be your first mission of this type?
It will. Yeah, absolutely.
But Dewey, this isn't the first for you.
No, I've by God's grace, I've had the opportunity to serve for the last probably 15 years. My first mission was back to my home country of Vietnam, and where God really broke my heart for the children there, and it continues to break. And I've served on the board of a nonprofit in Ethiopia as well. We have about 550 students that we support in private school, mainly young women, and have served in Mexico, Swaziland, and other countries as well.
Hugh, you know, you mentioned earlier that you come from a missionary family, and one thing that Utah is really good at is serving, being missionaries abroad. Doesn't matter whether you're LDS or part of another Christian group here in the state, but Utahns are just really good about being missionaries abroad.
Yes,
and here at home too.
I'm so thrilled that this is just an important part of the culture, and we all contribute however we can. I regret that I won't be able to travel this time, but I have been to Africa before, and I echo what these men are trying to do, the need there. These are lovely people, and they're going to be welcomed. They're going to have their challenges, but it's a wonderful culture out there, and I love that in this state we don't simply turn in on ourselves, but we have a world vision. So,
when you say challenges, what sort of challenges do you foresee, either of you, Dwee, you, or Hugh?
They'll have mechanical challenges. They'll have problems with traveling, with visas, with getting just permission from the state or the government to do things, and that's one reason I'm on board, so that I can perhaps interpret that and connect. So,
I think there'll also be cross-cultural challenges as well, obviously just in... This is Africa. TIA is kind of a term we commonly use, and that's why we have an open-ended ticket in going over. We're not sure how long we're going to be there, how long it'll take, but we need to demonstrate the utmost patience in the development and really come alongside the local people. Instead of, it's not the Americans project, but it's a project that we're collaboratively doing and building together. And so I think some of those are probably some of the key issues.
Well, I appreciate that you said cross-cultural challenges that you might have, because, I mean, all of you are international people who have interests in international culture, just different countries, different cultures. You get it. You're not new to this to this game, right? But still, there's still that need to be sensitive to, like you said, you have an open-ended ticket because you just never know what may happen. You could be there shorter, longer, just different things will arise.
Right, and I think actually Nick had mentioned this the other day, is in not having this defined timeline where we have this return ticket, it takes constraints off of us. Just from a heart standpoint, where we have to have the development done by this time frame, or... But it allows us to be more open-ended and just allows, I think, the Spirit to be able to work in and through us and dictate our agenda, which we don't know how that's going to fully run. I mean, conceptually, we have a lot of ideas, and we have our Microsoft project timeline. I think it's important to just let, because there's more than just the development of these orphanages and the building of these orphanages that I think God wants to work in our lives as well. And we need to have that open space to be able to move freely. And
what I'm hearing is that this sounds like this will be not only a practical mission, but almost sort of a religious mission. It just sounds very spiritual.
It's interesting you said that, because when I actually came to Dwee, I came to Dwee saying that personally, even though coming from a very religious family, I'm not doing this for religious purposes. I'm actually doing this for the opposite, because I'm not religiously driven to do any of these things. I'm just driven, and I told this to Dwee before. I wouldn't feel like I wouldn't be able to call myself a human unless I did this. Hmm. So it's not a spiritual. I don't feel spiritually drawn. I don't feel religiously connected. I just feel like this is what people need to do for other people.
And Hugh, you're nodding.
Yes, I'm agreeing with that. Different faiths, different approaches, but we're all one world, and that's why we're serving. Coming back to Dwee's open-ended timeline, my job as the lawyer is to keep people focused, and I was able to help with the original formation of the 501c3 Foundation. That's where I came in. We have to jump through a lot of hoops to get approved. We have to fill up forms for the IRS, and I'm very happy at this stage towards the end of my career to help people and to serve charities generally. That's my passion these days. I've retired from a full-time teaching career and practice part-time, specifically volunteering with foundations. Just such as this, where the heart is there.
Excellent. Well, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio. Hey,
Bernina.
we need to go hang out at Dave's Brinina.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And test drive the machines. Great specials going on.
Kind of pick out the ones we want to take home.
Well, let's go.
Discover Dave's Brinina, the Christmas store for ladies. 268 West Center Street in Provo and in St. George. Brinina products are wonderful Christmas gifts that you'll love and use. Special holiday pricing, offers, and financing. $150 off when you spend $999 or more on any new Brinina products. Buy the top of the line, 830LE. Receive a free Jumbo Hoop or Burnett 46 machine. How about 25% off any one new Brinina accessory up to $200? 20% off on select Brinina software packages. Remember, every machine purchased at Dave's Brinina features free classes and a 5-year warranty. More gift ideas and specials at davesbernina.com.
Dave's Brinina, 268 West Center Street in Provo and in St. George. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Hello there. Do you recognize my voice? That's right. I'm a professional announcer. My voice has power. I get paid to talk, and I can talk about anything to anybody. Except when it comes to talking to my parents about their care as they get older. Whatever I try, I can't seem to talk about the aging issue.
No matter who you are, it's not easy talking about aging. For help getting started, go to voa.org/talk. A message from Volunteers of America.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can motivate your audience.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can teach your children.
I can boost your bottom line.
I can add value to your workplace.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and ability.
If you don't hire me.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
You can remember that it worked.
It's what people can do.
It's what people can do that matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
This is KSL's Cultural Connections, an opportunity to learn from our various cultures and the issues that affect us all. Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are talking about Hugs for Tug. That's Tanzania and Uganda helping to, it's a 2012 project to build orphanages in these countries. And we have with us members of the Virtua Foundation. We have Dwee Beck, Nicholas Brunsvold, and Hugh Cawthorn. These gentlemen are all here, part of the foundation, part of this mission there in that part of the world, in Africa, to build orphanages. And before we went to break, we were talking about how this seems to be a sort of spiritual mission. And Dwee, I just kept hearing you saying, I want to be led by the Spirit and being in the mission of God and what His purpose is for me. And it's just so beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I absolutely believe it. We oftentimes, well, there's a verse that says, many are the plans that a man has for himself, but God guides his footsteps. And that we often will make plans and agendas in our life. And how often are those changed? And it's I think the fullness of life and the fullness of time is being in the present moment. It's not being, well, this is what I'm going to do this time. And obviously having a rough agenda is important, but When we actually had our last mission trip, God really laid on our hearts to not follow our own agenda. Otherwise, we would not accomplish what the Spirit wanted to accomplish through our life. And so we had to keep that openness, because relationships and people come in at different times and are so dynamic that we need that, you know, that freedom, that flexibility to say, okay, well, we're going to respond to the situation, you know, in this manner and whatnot.
But not everybody, as Nick was saying, is that, you know, helps with your organization, with the foundation, is necessarily Christian or religious. Really, it's open to everybody.
It is really, and I think having that as such a wide scope of need, and having everyone that wants to give is able to give in their own capacity, is such a huge thing. But even from a non-religious standpoint, I'm just floored by Dwi's ability to have so much faith in a cause and want to give so much and be driven so much by that faith and spirituality, and really it's such an amazing thing to see from every angle, and you know, giving is universal. And I think in a way it's all you know God reaching out in every capacity, and I think everyone's able to give in their own way.
And building an orphanage, I mean, this, it's no small undertaking. I mean, number one, you're going to a foreign country that you have to deal with different regulations for building there, I'm sure. But not only that, I mean, isn't this, it's kind of a dangerous time right now to be traveling internationally, to be part of an international, I don't know, project like this.
I would agree. I think my first response to that is we are our safest where God has placed us. And for this trip, I know that God has called, you know, myself and us to go on this trip. And so that's why in being in his protection, I know that's where we're safest. And at the same time, because he's called us to declare the gospel to the nations, if I were to lose my life for this cause, then there's no place I'd rather be. And so I'm not saying that, you know, that that we're going to be completely protected from all harm, because that's the sacrifice and the willingness. But it's interesting that you mentioned that safety. There is, in Uganda, for example, this summer there was military intervention. President Obama has deployed troops to northern Uganda to help fight the LRA, or the Lord's Resistance Army, in the Invisible Children campaign. There was an Ebola virus breakout as well, and our trip was seamless. We had no altercations of any kind. And then 2 weeks after that trip, I come back to Salt Lake, and long story short, I have a gun put to my head from a young man downtown in Salt Lake City.
So you're basically held up. Somebody tried to rob you or something.
Correct.
Oh, my word.
And the first thing that entered my mind was, what has this young man been through? You know, where is it? And normally the response can be different, but I thought, where has he been through? What has he been through? What abuse and circumstance and home life has he been through that caused him to put this gun to my head? And so that was I've actually been working with the district attorney on the case, and I just want him to know that he's loved and we forgive him. But going back to the safety point, it's, you know, you are your safest where God has called you. And to not always let media and everything else kind of come at you to determine your actions, your course of actions. But, you know, for us, is where is the Spirit leading?
Well, you have a very charitable attitude towards that young man who tried to, I mean, we don't know if he would have taken your life, but at least, you know, tried to rob you. And Hugh, you're nodding your head because I'm sure you've been in situations internationally that...
I could go on. This dates me, but I was born right into World War II, so the first impression I had was that people were trying to kill me. Hmm. I was one of those little babies down in the bomb shelters, so this is the world as we know it. I have a son who is a journalist who is always traveling to the world's trouble spots, and I worry about him, I worry about his wife, and my grandchildren. I visited them, and that's been a great and slightly scary experience. I'd been in Kenya when they were having those political riots. I've been in Venezuela, where my son Andy is now. And it took quite an effort of will to go, but I'm delighted I went. And it's broadened me, and this is what these men are doing. So,
and organizationally as well, we definitely take the necessary precautions to ensure safety and security on the trip, and prudent management. We definitely don't just discard that. Again, it's, you know, where have we been called?
And building an orphanage, I mean, that's no small task, obviously. I mean, I'm just thinking of these kids. I mean, you guys know what it's like. You've been in the military, so you know what it's like to watch kids basically lose their families. And so in Tanzania and Uganda, you're helping to build orphanages for these kids. What are the reactions to these American men that come and just kind of, hey, we're here and we're going to help build a community? What's their reaction?
That's a really good question. I feel that the initial response is there might be a little bit of skepticism. Like, are we going to see, are we going to see these people again? And they had actually asked us this summer, when are you coming back? Mm-hmm. And I told them, well, our goal is annually. But then on our way back is when I felt God lay on my heart, I need you to go there full time. And our goal really is to work with, as an orphan child myself and a foster child, is to help work with the children's abandonment issues, and that they don't have people that come in and out of their lives and never to see them again, but that they can find some consistency. And with that consistency and with us, their response tends to be obviously much more beautiful. And the children are amazing, as I'm sure many people can relate to.
Well, I'm really interested in your story, as you were just saying, as an orphan myself, or being able to relate to these kids. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about that. You're listening to Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio.
When I go to the festival of trees, I look at the pretty trees, I eat scones, I play in the bubble machine.
I watch the singers and dancers, but my favorite part about the festival of trees is it helps kids just like me.
Festival of Trees, where every penny raised benefits a child at Primary Children's Medical Center, November 30th through December 3rd at the Southtown Expo Center. For more information, go to festivaloftreesutah.org.
When I go to the festival of trees, I look at the pretty trees, I eat scones, I play in the bubble machine.
I watch the singers and dancers, but my favorite part about the festival of trees is it helps kids just like me.
Festival of Trees, where every penny raised benefits a child at Primary Children's Medical Center, November 30th through December 3rd at the Southtown Expo Center. For more information, go to festivaloftreesutah.org.
7:30 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Logan Daniels. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. Social conservatives in Iowa will be meeting tomorrow, trying to figure out who's the one social conservative they can vote for other than Mitt Romney. ABC's David Curley has more.
A worry for the conservatives? If Romney has a strong showing in Iowa going into New Hampshire, where he's leading, he could be tough to beat. What is clear is that this is the month that will cut the Republican field. We are now just a little more than a month away from the first voters having their say in Iowa.
New Hampshire's most influential paper, The Union Leader, has announced it will put its support behind Newt Gingrich. Egypt's military ruler is warning of extremely grave consequences if the country doesn't pull out from its current crisis. ABC's Linda Albin reports.
As thousands of protesters poured into Cairo's Tahrir Square for a ninth straight day, the country's military ruler, Field Marshal Tantawi, urged voters to turn out for parliamentary elections beginning Monday. Egypt, Tantawi said, is at a crossroads. Either we succeed politically, economically, and socially, or the consequences will be grave. But the protesters want Tantawi and the other generals out now and believe the vote should be postponed until they step down in favor of a civilian presidential council. Linda Albin, ABC News.
Local stories KSL is following. The Granite School District says it might switch 14 of its year-round elementary schools to a traditional schedule. The district hopes to save $1.5 million a year through lower utility, transportation, and staff costs. If the school board approves the switch, the district says everyone should be able to keep their jobs. Coming up on KSL News Radio, sunny and clear, and then comes December. We'll check your KSL weather forecast next. KSL News Time, 7:31.
Utah's afternoon news with Scott and Maria.
We are leading the nation out of this economic recession.
3 till 7 on KSL News Radio.
You may already know heart disease is the number one killer of women in the United States. But if you think you're too young to worry about it, think again. My name is Essence Harris, and I was a 30-year-old personal trainer when I started experiencing shortness of breath and chest pain during my workouts. Then one night, after carrying my son, Jaden, into the house, it took me 15 minutes to catch my breath. I knew I was in trouble. After several months and a lot of persistence, I found a doctor who didn't chalk up my symptoms to fatigue. An angiogram revealed a 90% blockage in two arteries, and three stents were placed in my arteries to save my life. Now I'm doing all I can to make sure all women take control of their heart health. Be sure to exercise and eat a diet rich with heart-healthy foods like leafy greens, oats, and soy. And remember, don't ignore your body when it tells you something's wrong. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
A public service from Women Heart and United Soybean Board.
Comes to talk.
What happened? Where did this come from?
And comes to be heard.
We need to be aware that these kinds of things are going on.
KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together. Looking at the cameras right now, there's no accidents or slowdowns to report on the freeways or main secondaries. And checking your KSL weather forecast, today will be sunny and clear, high of 52 degrees, overnight low of 26. Then tomorrow, a high of 54, and we'll keep in the mid-50s all the way through Wednesday with lows right around 30. And then Thursday, temperatures drop off to 47. Friday, all the way down to 43, and then a couple storms could come through on Saturday. It's 33 degrees at 7:33. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Logan Daniels, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Political and cultural issues impact Utah's growing minority populations in very different ways. Hear more about it. This is KSL's Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thanks so much for joining us again. We're so honored that you'd spend your Sunday with us. We are talking about Hugs for Tug, building orphanages in Tanzania and Uganda. And that's a 2012 project from the Virtua Foundation. And we have with us in studio Dwee Beck, Nick Brunsvold, and Hugh Cawthorn, members of the Virtua Foundation. Dwee, people think that just to go in and build an orphanage, it's a great project, obviously, but it's more than just laying down the foundation, the brick, the mortar. It's more than that, because you're dealing with these kids who have gone through so much, and you have this great connection with these kids. Where does that come from?
Each child has this unique story. For example, one of the children in Tanzania, his name is Jonah. And this summer, when he was in school, that one of his professors or teachers asked the students to talk about what they think about caning. And he wasn't late to class. He wasn't disruptive. He wasn't, hurting anyone else. But on his paper, he wrote, "I don't agree with caning." And caning is a form of discipline that's more accepted in other countries. And four grown men, because of that, caned him in his school to the point where Mama Faraji, the mama of the orphanage, she had to intervene and get authorities involved. And this little boy, you look at him, and his face is so beautiful, and he's got this gorgeous smile, and he's a winker. He always winks at you. But then it's underneath that shirt, he's got cane marks all over his body, and those are the situations. And when you hold that child, and you can viscerally feel his pain to a point, is what brings you back. For myself, I was, by God's grace, actually born in Vietnam, escaped to a refugee camp in Malaysia after the communist takeover, and then was sponsored by a host family coming here to the States. Long story short, I was separated from my birth mom and placed into a foster home, a loving Christian family that was able to care and nurture me and into a place where I was able to get a much better life. But it is interesting, having gone from that and seen where God has brought me now, this story actually has become much more personal for me recently. Actually, 2 weeks ago, my birth mom passed away, and we have decided to dedicate the development of this orphanage to her memory.
And why is that?
I think just because of the sacrifice. When I reflect on the first day I got the call from the detective or the police officer making me aware of the situation, I had...
Because you didn't grow up with her, so you didn't know where she lived or anything.
Right. So we had been separated when I was much younger. It was interesting, like my foster home or my adopted family, they had been turned down 6 times before I was actually adopted by them. But when I was born, I had a friend actually called me. This was during the funeral, during that whole process when I was processing her death and processing my trip. So I had these emotions about her passing and then also about leaving as well.
This trip is so important, not only on just a practical level, but when you're dealing with these kids, there has to be something within you that can help them go through what they're going through, because for somehow you can relate.
Right.
And I think it sounds like your background with, you know, being adopted, not knowing your birth mother, and going through the traumatic experience of just not knowing who your birth parents are, and
right.
that whole, and not basically not growing up with your Vietnamese culture.
Right. And I remember in reflecting upon our story of coming over, the sacrifice that my birth mom took, and it makes me want to live my life even more fully in order for her sacrifice to, and her sacrifice was a huge blessing just in the life that she gave me. But I had a friend share that her heart, when she had never let me go in her heart, but she had asked God when I was born to give me a life, a better life than what she could give me. And her prayer was answered in my adopted family.
I'm thinking, you know, as I'm hearing you say this, you think of these orphans and you think of your mother and the sacrifice, your birth mother, and the sacrifice that she made, saying, give him a home and a life that was better than mine. And some would think, well, being an orphan or, you know, being adopted, not knowing your true heritage, that's not a blessing. But for you, you're looking at it the opposite, like, yeah, this is a blessing. I had a great, great Christian home life, and you know, I get to go back to Vietnam and learn more about my heritage. This was a blessing, even though it just seems like something that was so traumatic.
Absolutely. And it definitely gives us, the burden comes back to, and I think this is somewhat cliche in the sense that we understand the responsibility that we have to serve others and give to others because we've been given so much.
Nick, I'm just thinking, with your training, obviously you're Dewey's cousin, so you know his history.
Dude.
But what do you feel like you bring to these kids in helping to build this orphanage? I mean, some would say, well, I mean, you're this white guy from Utah. What do you know about African life?
Right, absolutely. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. A question you asked before is, how do you think we'll be received? And I think that it goes into a lot. They see us as just these Americans coming into their country, kind of blindly trying to make their lives better without any knowledge of what they've been through. And even though, you know, Dewey and other members of the foundation have been there and they've seen this, we have to come in knowing that we might not get such a warm reception, just openness to what we want to do. But what I've noticed in the foundation is that all of our vision, when we voice it to each other, they're so cohesive in wanting to grow something from the ground up that is beneficial for the area, for the kids, for the community, for economically, and will really benefit them long term. And I think that's what we bring the most, is just this unified vision of making things better. Despite any challenges that arise, even with a warm reception, or we were even talking before about how are we going to shower every day? we don't even know how we're going to, you know, have water, and it's those challenges that make the final product so much better, so much more worth it, and we have a lot more to show from it because we go through those trials.
All of those modern conveniences that we take for granted here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And our goal as an organization is not just to build a building, but to build a home for these children, but also one that's going to be sustainable, that's going to be able to perpetuate for generations and years to come, to house orphan children. And that sustainability comes in some of our kind of forward-thinking technology and processes, not to be too
technical
right, but for example, like there's biodigester technology where we can actually take cow manure and it can convert to a methane fuel, which will actually fuel a stove and also can provide heating for the orphanage.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing now, is that even we here in the United States need to get back to our roots instead of relying so much on foreign resources, getting back to things that just come naturally and that we can turn into resources, sustainable resources for, you know, projects such as building an orphanage.
Absolutely. And our goal is, you know, whether if that building's already built, it's built. But if we're going to build something new, we're going to build with these practices in mind.
And Hugh, I was just thinking, in terms of This is Africa, you've been around the world, different places. And Dwi mentioned earlier, This is Africa, the attitude of, you can look at it as each time is a different experience because there really are no rules.
Right. It's a pleasure to serve wherever it is. And I'm reminded of my uncle who went off to Botswana and spent a lifetime there and was so happy to contribute because he had been privileged. He had an education in England and put it back. I never met him because he didn't want to come back to England on leave. This was his home. I just want to echo the thought about giving it back, paying it back, and honor what these men are doing once again, because I was privileged as a child to have scholarships. I came from a poor family. People helped me. People built things for me. People sent me to places I couldn't have been. Mm. And therefore, I'm happy to contribute in charities and support this and pay it back.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. There's the argument that's going around these days, and that is we have so much need here in our own country. I'm sure you're all nodding your head in agreement going, yeah. We hear this, and we hear this so often. And that's one of the challenges, I think, in doing a show like this. I think that sometimes there are people out there saying, well, you know, we have orphans here too. We need to build homes here. What's your reaction, Hugh, to that sort of a message?
Well, we do have a structure to take care of that, of course. Of course, it's important to take care here at home, but we do that. We have tremendous local and private institutions. We work hard. I'm happy to be a member of the Deseret Foundation and support the healthcare, which is superb here. But then this need can't be ignored.
I agree with that. Yeah, and I think also two things are just, where have you been called? Mm-hmm. Have you been called locally, or have you been called internationally?
Okay.
And then second is, absolutely, having been through the Utah Foster Program last Sunday, we served the homeless downtown. And I, for 5 years, I was a counselor at a foster camp. And so I believe that it was, for me, it was seeing the extremity of the international poverty, and that broke my heart for indigent and for those that have so much less. And so when I came back stateside, I was even more passionate to help those locally. And so ideally, you have that hybrid where you can serve in both capacities and have a heart to serve in both capacities. But those people that say that, my first question to them is, are you serving locally? And if so, wonderful. You know, but don't pull away from where I feel God has called us. Absolutely. But I do agree that there are needs both here and far, and focus on where God has called you.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio.
Here's a sobering fact. Every 30 minutes, there's a fatal accident involving alcohol. A simple way to play it safe: if you're going to drink, make sure you have a plan. Designate a driver, arrange for a cab, or make arrangements to stay put before the party starts. It's easier to exercise good judgment ahead of time. So if it's party time, plan ahead. Play it smart. Play it safe. If you drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by your Les Schwab Tire Centers.
You're full of fear, you're breathing fast, your head's pounding, and all you can hear is, I don't want to do it. You get to the top, get hooked in, and then you look over the edge. I thought it was 1,000 feet. I was like, no way am I jumping off this tower. I'm staying right here. I'm like, am I ever going to be good enough to be a Marine? Every day it got harder, but every day we got stronger. And I thought, yes, I can do this. When it was all said and done, watching the car guard raise the American flag, hearing the national anthem, it was amazing. I've never felt anything like that before. At that point, I thought, I am a United States Marine.
PFC Keith Balka knows you don't join the Marines, you become one. Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
I guess we got caught up in the crazy housing boom.
I lost my job and lost my benefits.
We had been in the house so long, we didn't want to lose it.
I was only going to pay interest for the first 5 years.
I fell really behind in my mortgage payments and received a foreclosure notice.
But we couldn't pay this.
We got hit pretty hard when the introductory mortgage rate expired.
What these people share is that they all got in trouble with their mortgages, and they all called a certified housing counselor for help.
Our housing counselor looked at our paperwork and she knew something was wrong.
She understood what needed to be done, and she helped me work it out with the bank.
The housing counselor got to the right people right away.
This is a free service. If you think you're in trouble, don't wait. Call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling now. The earlier you call, the better your options.
We were smart. We called a housing counselor before we got into some serious trouble.
To find a certified counselor near you, call 1-866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org.
You two must be proud of Johnny.
Oh, we sure are.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
So he's got a job at the dealership, right?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, right, the dealership. You know, he just started there and...
Actually, it's been about 6 weeks.
Has it been that long?
And what's he doing there?
Well, he does a bit of... Helen, what?
Detailing.
Yeah, right, detailing. Gotta have a beautiful car if you're gonna sell it, you know.
He just loves it. He really does.
Actually, Tom, he hates washing cars. He just thinks it's a good opportunity to let the boss see he's a hard worker so we can move into sales.
But he's happy doing what he does. You know, that's my Johnny. He pushes through that. He's a forward thinker.
And he graduates next year, right?
Oh, no. He's still...
Yes, he does, Tom.
Oh, Johnny? Sure, Johnny graduates next year. I thought you were talking about...
Who, Tom?
Need to get closer to your family?
So, Larry, you've got kids? Let's talk about them.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Cultural Connections, where we talk about Utah's growing diversity, building bridges, and learning more about the issues that affect all of us. We're KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Today we are talking about Hugs for Tug, the 2012 project from the Virtua Foundation to build orphanages in Tanzania and Uganda. And we have with us Hugh Cawthorn, Nick Brunsvold, and Dwee Beck, part of the Virtua Foundation. And before we went to break, we were talking about the need to serve here locally as well as abroad. And Nick, as a military person, you've served your country, and you still have this need to serve abroad as well.
Absolutely. And I think this is the best outlet that I've found to be able to give to people that need it the most. And when Hugh before was saying that having received the ability to do what he wanted to do through charity, through people giving to him, through scholarships, it's so important that we do the same thing for these kids in Africa who've never been given anything, because charity to them is uncharted territory, and it's unprecedented to have these Americans come into their country and give them the opportunity. And why I think it's so important is because when Hugh received this charity, he felt the need to give back. And when we give this charity to these kids, I think it's a natural human thing to know that that's necessary. And I think that these kids will translate that and be giving back to their community. And it's interesting when we were talking about how universal this idea is of growing this community and how important it is to educate these kids on agriculture, farming. As soon as we teach a man to fish, they're going to be able to teach their community how to be sustainable, how to grow crops, feed themselves. And with starvation being such a huge problem in Africa, I mean, it's the least you can do to teach these kids how to give back.
I appreciate how you said that. You said being able to teach them to grow up and help their community. That's what we do here with our families. That's what our families do for us. Our parents, they help us to be able to take care of ourselves. But these kids, they don't have parents. They're orphans. And so somebody is coming to teach them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our goal is empowerment. And again, the cliche, teach a man how to fish, you know, versus giving him a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that sustainability comes also through, you know, farming practices. And for example, this development, just from dairy, poultry, cabbage, and tomatoes, we are able to hedge or reduce operating costs by about 60% for this orphanage.
So the orphanage is being built, but it's also part of a farming community to help them?
Correct.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the goal is that the orphanage will eventually become kind of a center point in the community as well, where it can be a distribution point, where hopefully the orphanage can begin to service also the local indigenous people and their needs.
So almost as, I'm just thinking, pay it forward, almost as a way to pay it forward. Pretty much like what you were talking about, Hugh. People helped you, and now you're helping others.
This is what I'm thinking, and my family has a tradition of this. My father did it in India. My sister did it in Thailand. I'm happy that we're now doing it in Africa.
Well, it's hugsfortug.org. So you were saying that that there's still a need.
This summer we had a mission team of about 11 people go over, and 8 of those were women. Women tend to be really called to want to work with children. And so this is an open invitation to all to come with us. We do have a friend coming over next spring as well. She's a runway model and has a heart to want to serve the children. And whatever your background, whether it be healthcare or, you know, as we have a small medical aspect with immunizations, and we're doing some baseline research as well that measures the child's health, like their emotional health, their physical, like their fine and gross motor skills, their cognitive and their language development, because we don't want to just build a building, but we want to see how are we really impacting this child's life. And so we're taking a baseline of that child's overall health before we develop, and then also having that follow-up and that consistency so that this is a long-term relationship with this organization.
Well, and our members of their own community there, like Mama Faraji, she's part of that community. And so you have it sounds like it's a teamwork from people abroad and the adults there in that community to help build the community, the orphanage.
Absolutely. And we actually will... we identify a local church in the area as well that kind of adopts this orphanage, and so that they become like the local route. Again, so that is a collaborative development where we can both learn from them and share some of what we know as well.
Well, it's hugsfortug.org if you're interested in helping the Virtua Foundation to help in the 2012 project of building an orphanage.
It's been interesting. It kind of started as a 6 to 8 month project, and I was like, okay, I'll be able to come back and sleep in my nice warm bed in 8 months. But now we have kind of an open-ended ticket, and it seems that might last a little bit longer, maybe up to a year. And so if anyone wants to come over for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 months, we will welcome you with open arms and receive you in country. And there's a lot to see over there. There's a lot of cultural experiences as well that are unique. We do have a provider, for example, a doctor and friends that want to hike Mount Kilimanjaro. But then they also want to have that excursion, but they also want to do some medical work as well at the orphanage.
Well, sure. I mean, all work and no play. You have to play a little bit, too, especially when you're there climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. My goodness.
And it is important, too, for us to know. The reason, you know, what I felt God share with me is like no sacrifice, no victory. And currently, by God's grace, 100% of donations outside of the board of directors goes directly to making bricks, goes directly to this child's health. And so just the management of our fiscal responsibility and funding is highly responsible.
And if you're not able to go, I'm getting a team of people to sponsor children, and you can find more about that.
Online at Hugs for Tugs.
$45 will put a child through education for a year.
Mm. It's extremely inexpensive. We're focusing on primary school children, K through 6th grade. It's actually one of the UN's Millennium Development Goals, is getting every child at least through primary school, just so they get the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. And, you know, $5,000 could fund 50 children, 100 children in school for a year.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, honey. What you working on?
Oh, my algebra.
Angie, this isn't your handwriting.
Mom, everyone does it. It's called sharing.
Isn't that just another word for cheating?
Mom, Dad, if you love us, you'll ask us the important questions. Because if you don't, who will?
I just don't get this.
Okay, let's take a look.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Oh,
I can't believe my baby is going on a date.
Mom, I'm 16.
Remember what we said about boys and dating and stuff?
Yeah, I remember.
Could you repeat it back to me?
Mom, Dad, if you love us, you'll ask us the important questions. Because if you don't, who will?
Just the highlights will be fine.
Dad, okay. Be home at 10.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
To go hang out at Dave's Bernina.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And test drive the machines. Great specials going on.
Kind of pick out the ones we want to take home.
Well, let's go.
Discover Dave's Bernina, the Christmas store for ladies. 268 West Center Street in Provo and in St. George. Bernina products are wonderful Christmas gifts that you'll love and use. Special holiday pricing, offers, and financing. $150 off when you spend $999 or more on any new Bernina products. Buy the top of the line, 830LE. Receive a free Jumbo Hoop or Burnett 46 machine. How about 25% off any one new Bernina accessory up to $200? 20% off on select Bernina software packages. Remember, every machine purchased at Dave's Bernina features free classes and a 5-year warranty. More gift ideas and specials at davesbernina.com.
Dave's Bernina, 268 West Center Street in Provo and in St. George. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Having a conversation with your child is like putting money in the bank. For example, every time you ask your child,
"So, how was your day?"
you've just added to your conversation trust account. And when you say to your child,
"Good job, son,"
you get double deposits. And the more you ask, the more you put away. And it's good advice to... excuse me. And it's good advice to have... Stop that! And it's good advice to have little chats with your child as often as you can. Thank you. Because someday, when they're teenagers, it may pay off big dividends.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
Thanks, Dad. I think you're right.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,
visit us at Mormon.org.
Just spell zero or online at zeroissaltlake.com. And remember, we're Gephardt approved.
Is KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's first source for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, severe weather, and local talk. KSL FM.